Taking a look at the high school football scores from last night from around our listening area. In Class 3A, it was Glenwood trouncing Atlantic 56-6. Harlan beat Lewis Central 38-21. Creston was a 34-12 winner over Winterset. And Dallas Center Grimes beat ADM Adel DeSoto Minburn 35-7. In Class 2A, District 8 high school football, Shenandoah was a 14-13 winner over Red Oak. AHSTW had a wider margin of victory over Clarinda, 41-14. Kemper Catholic was a 52-14 winner over West Central Valley of Stewart. And Southeast Valley downed East Sac County by 1 point, 27-26. In Class 1A, IKM Manning beat Traynor 21-7. It was Oldebold Arthur BCIG over West Monona 51-8. Underwood, a 34-13 winner over Missouri Valley. Also in Class 1A, District 8 this time, it was Panorama over Southwest Valley 35-0. And Central Decatur downing Des Moines Christian 22-19. In District 1 of Class A, Logan Magnolia beat Council Bluffs St. Albert 35-7. It was Maple Valley over Tri-Center 41-24. Audubon, a 60-22 winner over Griswold. And Westwood blanking Riverside 44-0. District 8 action in Class A saw Mount Air beat Clarinda Academy 41-0. Bedford was a 55-12 winner over Southeast Warren, and Earlham beat Nottoway Valley 56-8. Eight-man football now in District 1. It was Exira EHK over River Valley Friday, 55-0. Newell Fonda beating Boyer Valley, 49-8. Arweva was a 55-20 winner over West Harrison. Kingsley Pearson was a winner by forfeit over Woodbine. In District 7, eight-man football action in this area, it was Coon Rapids Bayard over Guthrie Center, 79-20. East Union downing Murray, 28-8. And in District 8, Fremont Mills beat Sydney 48-0. Stanton was a 40-3 winner over Cam. Lennox blanked Essex 70-0. And East Mills downed Anishinaabemowin 44-13. A former University of Iowa men's basketball player Roy Marble has died. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
Marble, the school's all-time leading scorer, died at the age of 48 at his home in Michigan from cancer. Marble scored 2,116 points in 134 games to become the only Hawkeye to score more than 2,000 points in his career. He also recorded 668 career rebounds, 281 assists, as the Hawkeyes posted an 89-37 record during his tenure at Iowa. Iowa earned four straight NCAA tournament appearances with Marble in the lineup, including an Elite Eight appearance in 1987 and a trip to the Sweet 16 in 1988. Marble's son Devin also played for the Hawkeyes. Men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey says Marble was one of the all-time best to play for the Hawkeyes. Funeral arrangements for Roy Marble are pending. I'm Dar Danielson.
Iowa State hosts Iowa this afternoon in the 63rd meeting of the series. The Cyclones have won three of the last four matchups, and coach Paul Rhodes says all in the key matchups, it starts in the front.
I think you got to look at the trenches, especially in this game. Iowa's has always been so strong on the offensive and defensive lines, and they are again this year. We looked improved on our defensive front, still building with that offensive front. So, yeah, I think I'm keeping my eyes close to the line of scrimmage.
In terms of individual matchups, one of the most interesting will be Cyclone sophomore tackle Jake Campos against Iowa senior defensive end Drew Ott.
That's a good matchup. Jake certainly has to be motivated because Ott's one of the best in the country, absolute best in the country, and Jake's going to have his hands full. So, that's one if you want to put the spyglass on two guys, but I think it's got to be a bigger vision. It's got to go all the way across.
ISU has the home field advantage, but the road team has won the last three games.
In a game like this, doesn't matter where you're at. You're focused on what's happening down there between the white lines. And I think in a game of this magnitude, the focus is that high that probably some of that crowd can get lost in its effect as players remain intent on what they have to accomplish.
And Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says the Cyclones have an experienced offense and an improved defense that has several new faces.
When you look at their offensive team, extremely veteran, you know, starting with the front guys. As good a receiver corps as you're going to find anywhere. Quarterbacks played a lot and played well. So they're very veteran offensively. And, I think they're settled. I don't want to say settled into what they're doing, but they are settling into what they're doing. And they do have an identity, no question. Defensively, again, to your point, a lot of new faces, a lot of, I think, injection of good energy. And, boy, they played really well the other night. So, you know, we're really in flux that way, and it's almost like preparing for a first game.
Barron says the Hawkeyes must find a way to defend the Iowa State receivers.
You know, our secondary has to do a good job, and there are going to be some balls that we're going to have to try to fight for and come out ahead on. They've got some good size at the receiver position, which is always concerning. But we're going to have to do a good job trying to get pressure and then also trying to reroute and things like that. So I know this, if we just let those guys run the routes they want to run uncontested, it's going to be a long night, so we can't do that. And you know, linebackers are involved with that as well as the secondary.
It's also the first road test of the season for the Hawkeyes, which Ferentz says is always a challenge.
One more element about the series, I think it's been consistent, at least since I got going in 81. It's going to be a lively, vivacious crowd, and they're going to be loud. And, you know, it's one more thing is the road team that you have to try to, you know, overcome to be successful.
Iowa leads the all-time series 40-22. Pre-game coverage begins at 1:30 here on KJAN with a kickoff slated for 3:30. That's a check of sports for this hour, brought to you by Insurance Services in Elkhorn.